Well, this Sunday we're looking at our rather lengthy gospel lesson, and we're looking at it not just because it's one of the funniest parts of Scripture. People frequently look at Holy Scripture as being dour and unfunny, and admittedly, not very much of it is laugh-worthy, but there's a few parts in this one that, depending on the day, can actually make me laugh out loud. My favorite being, of course, when in the conversation between the man who was blind and the Pharisees, he says, "What, do you want to become his disciples too?" I just can't, it's a line I myself would not have risked, but he did and got away with it. But rather than looking at those parts of it, we're looking at it to answer the question of the sermon title, "Whose fault is it anyway?" And that comes from the very beginning. And we see that Jesus is walking along with his disciples. And as they're walking, they see a man who had been blind from birth. And the disciples ask an interesting, if somewhat odd, question. Rabbi, teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? We desperately want reasons for things. And often, we just as desperately want something to be someone's fault. And we want be able to lay responsibility for things at people's feet. And sometimes it's well-meant, and sometimes it's a good thing. But often it's so that we can have an explanation that we can grasp, we can wrap it up, tie it with a bow, and never think about it again. The difficulty is that sometimes things aren't anyone's fault. And what we come around to as much as anything is that's the wrong question even to ask. In this Lenten season, if we choose to do something, choose to give up something so we suffer at least a little bit, we're reminded that this world in which we live has things that go wrong on a fairly regular basis. And when things go wrong, we want to have an explanation, because if you don't know why something's gone wrong, how can you fix it? If you don't know what the issue is, you can't address the issue. And there's nothing wrong with trying to figure out what's going on when your car won't start, or when you're having difficulty with your computer. Whatever it might be, you need to know what's wrong so you can address what's wrong so it can be fixed. But not everything happens just so we can figure it out. Matter of fact, Jesus is fairly clear that sometimes things happen for reasons that are not just beyond our immediate question, but are completely outside the realm of the question at all. Because Jesus says, well, no one sinned, not this person, not his parents. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in this person's life. What an interesting perspective that we now have. And it takes us from this idea that everything happens for a reason that we can easily understand, that we can easily address, and frequently that we can easily fix, to things happening for reasons that are so far removed from us that we can't even ask the right kind of question. We frequently run into this with children. How many of you, when going to work and have a child in your house or a grandchild, whatever it might be, who says, play with me? And you say, well, I can't. I need to go to work. Well, why? Well, first of all, that's a bit of an existential question. That's usually beyond a two-year-old or whatever age they are. But you say, well, no, but I have to go to work. But why? And it's not that there's anything wrong with the child. It's that the child is asking a question about a particular situation where that question just doesn't fit. When your grandkids or your kids or whoever it is wants you to stay at home from work, it's not that they want you to avoid your responsibilities. It's that your responsibilities never even cross their mind. The question they ask is for their context, and there's nothing wrong with the question. Jesus never tells his disciples, you people are dumb for asking this question. He just says, no, you're asking the wrong question. This has nothing to do with someone's sin. This is a situation that God is going to use to reveal God's glory before you. And by trying to figure out what the reason was in the first place, you put yourself at risk of missing what's actually going on. And that's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees had no categories that could possibly include what was about to happen, which is why they had so many difficulties. The Pharisees certainly come across as sort of the villains in most pieces in the Gospels. Villainous of one point, sort of at one level or another. And in this case, we see it again, but we need to have at least some compassion towards the Pharisees, because they're struck with something that's outside of their categories. Where they fall down, and where we can look at them with a certain amount of criticism, is that they're uninterested in opening their categories up beyond what they already know, which, of course, is the case for many of us. The Pharisees are very much sort of the embodiment of the proverb that for the person with a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. The Pharisees had a pretty good understanding of what they thought they knew, and everything that happened had to fit in there, which also describes us fairly well, until we are open to the possibility that our toolkit, what we're trying to approach problems with, might not be sufficient. Maybe we need to take a step back, and maybe we need to realize that what we're facing, the catastrophe in our life, isn't because we did something wrong. And that's not the question to ask at all. I think it's almost impossible to reach sort of even into your early adult years without encountering at least a couple of things that make no sense whatsoever. And sometimes they're the catastrophic things that make no sense. Sometimes they're delightful things that make no sense. Just about all of us have had that moment of generosity from a stranger that we just don't, like, where did that come from and why? I hope all of you at least once have had the experience of going through the drive-thru at Tim Hortons, reaching to pay, and find out that the person in front of you, who you don't know at all, has paid for you already. And if you're so inclined, I suspect you could spend a lot of time figuring out exactly why they did that. Maybe they have a guilty conscience. Maybe they're trying to work off a karmic burden that their religion has imposed upon them. Maybe they found money and felt guilty about it. You could think of all of these things. Why? What if instead of trying to figure out all of those things, you rejoiced in the fact that someone was generous to you and it lifted your heart? What if instead of trying to figure out what this person's motivation might be, you looked at it instead and said, this is someone responding to God's call of generosity to me. What a wonderful thing. I think that might change your perspective. Certainly on the person in front of you, might possibly change your orientation to the rest of the day. Because instead of trying to figure out what's going on, to sort of squash our sermon title into there, trying to figure out whose fault it is that they're paying for you, instead of trying to answer that question, you just step away from it entirely and say, this is a wonderful thing. It makes you, I think, a better person. I know it does for me. When I spend less time trying to figure out what somebody wants from me when they give me a present, and spend more time saying thank you, I'm a much better person to be around. And what we see here in this person who was born blind, we don't see him spending a lot of time trying to figure out why he was blind in the first place. Or for that matter, we don't even see him spending a lot of time trying to figure out why he was singled out to be miraculously healed. What does he say when it all comes down to, well, to everything? He says, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. This person, this man has looked at what is and says, there are other explanations. But what difference does that make? He says, maybe he's a sinner, I don't know. There's lots of things I don't know. But he knows that he had been blind, and he'd been blind his entire life, and now he could see. The whole idea of fault, the whole idea of trying to figure out motivation and all these things, this is on our end. This is something we bring. We need to pay attention to the fact that this is something that's important to us, that it's, well, that it's our deal, if you will. It's not God's. Because God brought healing to this person through the agency of Jesus. Not because of sin anywhere, but that God's glory might be revealed again in a new way to God's people. And that glory is being revealed even now as we read this story. We read this story of someone born blind, according to our what we see here, through no fault of anyone. It's just one of those things that happened. God miraculously reached into this person's life and changed it forever. And we can have the benefit of that glory even now by having that same kind of encouragement. I don't want us to think that the world in any particular way is random or is one of those places where it's just kind of chaotic. But we do need to realize that there are lots of things that happen because they happened. And perhaps at some point when we're in glory with God, He'll explain exactly why they happened, assuming we still care. But lots of things in life simply happen. And we try and find a cause and an effect, and we just don't. And we can drive ourselves crazy trying to find that cause and effect. Why this thing just happens, why this disease strikes this person and not that one. And why these two people with the same disease, this one goes into spontaneous remission or a miraculous cure, and this one doesn't. And we can spend all of our time trying to figure out whose fault it is that this happened or that that didn't. But if we come back to this story, I think what we're doing is we're looking in the wrong place and we're asking the wrong question. The question is not whose fault is anything. The question is, where is God in this? Where is God looking to display the glory of God, even in the midst of a situation that no one would choose? And sometimes it's displayed in the miraculous healing, as every bit as miraculous as this. But sometimes it isn't. And sometimes the people we pray for that they will be healed, the situation we pray for will be resolved. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it isn't. And we often find ourselves at that point going back and asking another round of whose fault is it? Am I not holy enough? Are my prayers not good enough? Are they not long enough? Are they not eloquent enough? And none of that matters either. Instead of spending the time that it takes to discern the fault in any situation, which we frequently cannot, or find the cause for something, which likewise we frequently cannot, what if instead of that, instead of looking for the reason, we look for where is God in this situation? Where is God looking to display His glory? And I've found that in many situations where I have looked for a reason and never found one, but through the grace of God and the nudging of the Holy Spirit, have started looking for where's God in this situation. That I've found. And sometimes they've been in the catastrophes of life when people die through diseases that they didn't cause themselves, they didn't do something, through accidents that no one could have predicted. And instead of looking for why, when I look for God, I see God. I've experienced profound moments of God and with God in hospital rooms, with dear friends, on machines that are shortly going to be turned off. I still don't know why. I don't know why someone in the prime of life would have an accident. Foolish accident that ends with them being dead. I don't know why. And I suppose I could torture myself with that, but I'd rather not. And instead, I reflect on that deep sense of God's presence when I was there saying goodbye. that in the midst of loss, I felt comfort in a way that could come only from God. And even through this, a situation that no one would choose, certainly not me, His memory is just as precious. And my relationship with God is deeper. The answer to the question of whose fault is it anyway is another question. Why are you asking at all? And sometimes you should, and sometimes you need to, and sometimes it's worth finding out. But often it just gets in the way of taking the time to see God at work in a situation that we wouldn't have chosen, in a situation that's not good by anybody's standard. But when we look for God, He's always there to be seen. The comfort of the Holy Spirit rests upon us, even in the midst of who knows why. Because God has promised to always be with us, no matter what. He hasn't promised to answer all our questions. He said, I'll be with you always. Amen.